Without trust, society stagnates.
Economies decline.
And businesses fail.
My Security Media believes through security,
trust between individuals,
organisations,
and government can be maintained. Welcome to the
Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast.
Welcome to the Cybersecurity Weekly Podcast. We're recording in Barcelona thanks to Kaspersky Lab at the KL Next Media Summit. And I'm joined by Mr. and Mrs. Ian Whiting and Nicola Whiting, the CEO and CSO of Titania. Nicola, Ian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about, I've got a document here in front of me called The Future of Autonomous Mitigation, Solving the Challenge of Self-Healing Networks. Ian, maybe talk us through the background to Titania. We're going to be talking about machine learning and automation and, started off being a pen tester and trying to save on time, right?
Absolutely. So it all started probably 14 or 15 years ago, and I was a penetration tester.
Yep.
And there's certain parts of the job that are not very glamorous. It's certainly not Hollywood.
Yeah.
And very time-consuming, very repetitive. And there's a certain amount of pain that you're willing to go through before you finally say, enough is enough, I'm going to start automating things. So what it was that I was doing some configuration analysis of routers and firewalls, and it's quite a slow, time-consuming process, but there wasn't enough pain there to force me to automate it until one day I turned up at a job and they gave me 30 configurations to go through, and I was thinking, this is going to take absolutely ages, I'll start automating this, because at the time there really wasn't anything that else that you could do. You needed, as a penetration tester, a high level of accuracy and detail, and there just wasn't anything else out there.
So you would effectively have to log into every device and extract those configurations, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's not just a matter of going through configurations line by line, because quite often one area of the configuration of a device will interact with another area.
Right.
So you have to take the configuration as a whole into account. And it's really quite a time-consuming process. And sometimes things will not appear in the configuration because the defaults quite often will not show up in the configuration. You have to take those into account. And the defaults may change depending on the version of the platform that you're running as well. It really is a very long, time-consuming process if you want to do it properly. I mean, if you're okay doing a really quick, bad job, then there's shortcuts.
But so you effectively created a script that did this for you?
Yeah, so the first tool I created was a tool called Nipper. It's now called Nipper Studio. And at the time, it was a PHP script, because I needed to create something quickly. I needed to take less time than it was going to take me to do those things manually. But actually, over time, I realized that it needed to be a lot more complex, and the whole tool was rewritten in C++.
Right.
It needed to create a virtual model of the device in order to fully understand how different configuration options interacted with each other and getting an accurate result out the other end. Otherwise, there were just, if you just try and create it as a script which did kind of like a grep where it pattern matched the text that was inside the configuration, you start getting large numbers of false positives out, and that's not a great thing when you're a penetration tester and you're trying to provide quality results to your customer. It just doesn't go down well.
Well, then you fast forward 13 or so years. In that time, you've gotten married and started a company. Nicola, maybe talk us through where this is at now, because Ian mentioned Nipper Studio, and you've got two products. One is Pause Studio. So, yeah, just talk us through where you guys are currently at, because it's a long journey.
So we grew organically. I mean, Ian mentioned it took a long time, but each device, depending upon its complexity, may have taken half a day to a day of work. And you know, writing the report per device, and that's a point in time.
Yeah.
So we took that half a day to a day of work down to half a second. So it was quite popular in the penetration testing community.
You still have to charge the hour, though, don't you?
maybe. It was quite popular in the penetration testing community, as you can imagine. And Because this was a tool being used by the red team or pen testers,
yeah.
They would go, they would find a whole heap of stuff that shouldn't have been there. And quite often the network managers or the security guys would go, what is that? What have you just used to do that?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we grew. So we grew through effectively almost like a proof of concept,
yeah. Yeah.
on sites. Rolling that forward, we've done quite a lot of work now to make that integratable with things like SIEM systems so it can be a data source. And I think that's really where we're going to transform not only our business, but what our clients can do
yeah.
at large scale, because currently they are often relying on the results of scanners, which, you know, they're great tools. They can attack almost anything, but it's an outside-in
yeah.
look at a product.
Maybe just talk through the product now, because obviously it started just with getting those configurations automatically.
Mm-hmm.
What is it doing now? Are you in a machine learning phase with what it's doing? And when it looks at a network, is it learning the fundamentals of a network or devices itself?
So there are other things that do that really well.
Yeah.
Like there are other things that will go out like Nmap and
yeah.
find out all the things on your network. Where we tend to operate from is the point of, right, you've now got 200,000 configurations. We take those configurations and we process them really rapidly.
Got it.
And that can be done on one configuration or a massive amount of configurations. Typically, when you start doing large numbers, you'll then segregate the data into chunks.
But effectively, you're doing a vulnerability scan in a way?
We're doing a detailed configuration analysis where we're building a virtual model and then looking at the interactions. The vulnerability scan is probably the weakest area of any manufacturer's offering
yeah.
because it relies on the same vulnerability databases
yes.
that are put out by the manufacturers, which unfortunately contain...
So you still need a human to understand those configurations. And is this creating certain... Is it risk assessing in a way?
So there is a certain amount of risk assessment that happens as part of the audit. So, for example, you're able to put in what your own priorities are, whether it is confidentiality or integrity and so on and so forth, and it will then adapt the results depending on kind of what you're interested in your environment. But the really exciting part kind of moving forward is actually then being able to help and assist the operators in mitigating those risks.
Right.
So moving from purely this is the analysis phase to then the software being able to intelligently automatically deploy the fix
like
to resolve
the issue.
Absolutely.
Right.
So at the moment it's just about reporting the remediation.
Yeah.
But actually... taking it a step further and being able to say, well, actually, this is the amount of risk that the operator is willing to accept as auto mitigation, because some people aren't necessarily confident with tools automatically fixing everything.
And this is where you're heading to, obviously, is the self-healing networks.
Yeah.
So once you've done the configuration, it's doing a risk assessment in a way,
yeah.
based on a risk profile that... that
yeah,
the client wants.
Absolutely. And to bring Pause Studio into it, so
yeah.
we obviously got ourselves started on network infrastructure, so all those firewalls, routers, switches, and so on and so forth. Pause Studio kind of brings endpoint servers and databases and other kind of applications into that as well. Yet again, providing the detail and accuracy that a penetration tester needs, but also providing the actual finding data. I know it sounds kind of
yeah.
weird me saying finding data, but when a bit of software tells you that you've got a vulnerability, it's really important to actually then say, this is the reason why you have a vulnerability. It's because this particular setting has been configured as this. And there's a whole lot of tools out there that kind of hide that. They just kind of report the issues, but don't.
And that's really where we started getting into AI and
yep.
the future of AI, because one of the main challenges with AI is if you feed it bad data, you tend to get bad results. So AI and machine learning can process vast amounts of information faster than we are currently possible of doing that manually or even in ways where we're amalgamating information in a seam. And so when you are able to unify the output of hundreds of disparate devices from lots of manufacturers, and not only that, actually provide the, hey, this is how this isn't configured to the benchmark, say, that your industry says you've got to honour, like CIS benchmarks or the security technical implementation guides for the military. You know, these benchmarks are out there, they're good security practice, but we're just not doing them consistently. We're doing dumb stuff fast.
Yep.
And so by being able to consistently apply those, we start to fill those gaps that make it so difficult for us to have basic cyber hygiene, which is where a lot of breaches
come. So you fed it, understands what those guidelines are and what the standards should be for that particular network. Again, you come back to that risk profile and what that network is doing and the type of data that it's handling.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think one of the other problems that is out there is, you know, some software makes guesses as to whether something is a vulnerability or not. And I don't think we're at a stage yet where software can make a guess like that. And we're finding through data that we've been having that more often than not, the guesses are then wrong. So you then get false positives in.
Yeah.
One of the things that, because of coming from a penetration testing background, we wanted to remove all of that. So we only report a pass or a failure if we know for 100% certainty that actually it is a pass or a failure. If we're not sure at all, we actually flag it up as something that the auditor needs to look at manually. And I think that's really, really important, rather than just making assumptions and saying this is a pass or a failure without actually knowing.
So it started as an audit tool, but now you're in the seam, are you, in terms of what it's doing, giving you live monitoring of a network?
So the data output can be fed into a seam directly. And we're already looking really past that into what Gartner are talking about with SOAR, because we've already got the data that could be used for remediation, because we have such a granular understanding, because we do the virtual modelling, because we're looking at the actual configuration, that we can put out, here's the command line that would actually fix that.
Yep.
So that's a data that could be almost cut and pasted by a system into the new configuration.
Well, look, it's a fascinating area. It's certainly, you know, surprising, I suppose. I mean, certainly starting to see more machine learning input into cybersecurity. And as you say, at scale, you almost need it. So we'll get a link to this. It's the future of autonomous mitigation. And Titania, where can we find out more? I imagine it's titania.com. There you go. Very good. And maybe your background, if we just touch on, Ian, we've covered that, but Nicola, also, you gave a presentation yesterday on AI, and then we've ended up having a couple of discussions on where AI can go and potential utopia. I suppose when you're in that network environment, you do have that control to get the right data and the correct data. Yeah, it's a matter of getting that right first. Because even Ian's raised, the software can still be making guesses.
Yeah, so there's a lot of tools out there that make guesses by default. So for example, scanners, that they extrapolate from the information they get back from attack, and they're really sophisticated best guessing tools, and they're reasonably accurate. But some of them do generate quite a lot of false positives and negatives. In fact, I was reading your Australian security magazine. That is an article purely about that overwhelm that the network guys are experiencing with.
And
that's a problem, because it's just going to get worse as more attacks happen.
So
this really is a solution to that, because if we can eliminate a lot of the white noise from our networks, then that lets them really get down to, let's fixing it rather than investigating, is this actual risk or not?
Or flagging it to the team to have a closer look.
By that, Ian meant that there are some things that just cannot be investigated by a machine that are in things like the security technical implementation guides. One is this device physically locked down, as in, is there a lock on it?
Yep.
That has to be done by a person.
Very good. Okay, well, definitely worth having a look at titania.com. I've been joined by Ian and Nicola Whiting, the CEO and CSO. And thank you very much for joining us in Barcelona for the Cybersecurity Weekly podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good on you.